Good morning to the saints of God. Make sure you all can hear me all right. Can you give me some volume on this, brethren, please? A little volume on this. We are thankful to the Almighty God for the opportunity to assemble yet again, and we thank you all for your prayers, and we thank you for your presence today as well. Just a little bit of volume, not much. I don't need too much. The question is asked, what will it take? What will it take? You know, oftentimes as we think about, and I think about just how growing up and being coachable, my grandmother would always say to many of our cousins, Brother Rick, you just can't tell her anything. I don't know if y'all know anybody like that. You just can't tell them anything. Now, I don't know if you understand what that means by translation, but by translation, that means basically you're hard-headed, you're stubborn, and no matter what somebody says to you, you already have an answer. Now, I guess y'all got it now. So what will it take for you or for me to be more cognizant of what God requires of us, to be more aware of what God expects of us, and to live in accordance with God's word? There are those who question the very existence of the Almighty God. Let me say that again. There are those who question the existence of the Almighty God. We sometimes may go through challenges where we question, why God? I'm good, brothers. Don't change. Don't touch any buttons. Why God? Why me, God? Why now? Now, you don't have to say amen. It's not required at all. I wonder if any of us have ever gone through that stage. Lord, why? What will it take? Because see, there are those who question the very existence of God. There are those who would have you to believe and will say out loud that I don't believe in God. Yesterday, I'm watching a debate, and the man actually said, if God is a tyrant, he threatens us with hell, quoting him, and if God is such a tyrant, send me to hell. Well, he don't know what he just asked for. What will it take for us to recognize the power and the majesty of God? And so over the next, a few weeks, give or take, we want to talk about the existence of God and how God speaks to us. There's a term, you may want to write it down. It's called, if someone's agnostic, A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C, A-G-N-O-S-T-I-C, agnostic. What that basically means is someone who does not commit to nor show faith in God. And they believe that there's no way to prove the existence of God, and nor do I believe in a God. So it's almost like non-committal. Now, an agnostic is saying, I don't commit, where an atheist says, there is no God. Y'all got that? See, theo means God. Theology, study of God. Atheist, someone who doesn't believe in God. Agnostic, can't really prove God, but yet I don't have faith in him, so I'm just kind of just non-committal. That's like you asking somebody, honey, well, woman, you meet a woman, a gentleman, and you say, will you marry me? That means no. Because it's not a yes. And she said, well, I didn't say no, but you didn't say yes. So don't you marry someone that's like, it's time for you to go. Amen. That's free. So what will it take to move us? Let's go to the Psalms. Because the psalmist, Brother Lenny, let's go to Psalms, the 14th division. Did I say good morning? Good morning, everyone. I don't know if I said that already. So good morning. Psalms, the 14th division. Because see, some would say, well, the Bible's antiquated. I don't know if I believe in God. And some will say, I just flat out don't believe in God. So the question on the floor today, in addition to what will it take, are you seeking God today? Do you have an understanding of God? Do you want God to guide your life? Or are you are you of the mindset, I'm good? Because see, when we talk about the Lord's church, the church is the bride of Christ. There is a relationship. See what I'm doing? See, anybody that's married, look what I'm doing now. The bride of Christ. God constructed marriage. in the very beginning. So we who don't question creation, when we should not question creation, we'll get to that in a minute, should not question the merit. God created the institution of marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they, that's plural, shall be one flesh. And so when the church is not, I will call on God when I need him. See, sometimes we, the church, the bride of Christ, act like we're dating God. I ain't available tonight. Understanding. You had enough practical examples. Let's go to the text. Many don't seek God. The Bible is not silent. Psalms the 14th division. Psalms the 14th division, beginning at verse number 1. What does the Bible say?
The fool has said in his heart.
The fool has said in his heart. So keep in mind, if you're going to be a fool, just own it then. I mean, listen, the Bible is not silent. The fool has said in his heart, what did the fool say?
There is no God.
There is no God. So that man I listened to yesterday and listened to this debate, he said, you know what? God might as well be some spaghetti monster because I don't believe in God. He's a fool. But now understand something. God has given us all something. And this is the crux of this lesson. Choice. Listen. God who created you and me gave us choice. The very God who created us gives us free moral agency, the ability, and quite frankly, the authority to say, this is my decision. And we can honestly say, I don't believe in you. Now, there are consequences, but make no mistake about it, God will not make you or me obey him. The fool that said in his heart, Psalms 14th division in verse 1, the fool that said in his heart, there is no God.
They are corrupt.
They are corrupt.
They have done
abominable or detestable works.
There is none that
doeth good. Go on and read.
The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men.
Listen, so God sees what's going on in this world. So please don't say, why does God let people murder people? Why does God free moral agency? People make choices. You can have people make a choice, and God bless all those that have been affected in Idaho and the University of Virginia. And I've talked to a number of coaches who coached one of those young men that was from Miami on a bus, and one of them was asleep. He got shot in his head as he's sleeping. Gruesome act. But brothers and sisters, what I'm here to say, people make choices. Some choices are deadly. The Lord looketh down from heaven. Read.
To see if there were any that did understand.
So God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. God's looking. Is there anybody out there that understands who I am? Read.
They are all outside.
Is there any that understand, and is anybody that seek me? They are all gone aside.
They are all together.
Mankind has become filthy. Is that breaking news to anyone? Mankind has become filthy. Come on. There is none that doeth good.
No.
When we sing the song, no, not one, all because, and again, this is not some doom and gloom verse. This states what we sing and what the Bible declares in Romans 3 and 23, all have and come short of the glory of God. But thanks, but if we understand God, God has made a way for mankind to do something about sin. So we sing that song, No, Not One. So thank God that we have someone who understands the frailty of us as mankind. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Give me verse 4, then we'll hasten on.
Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge?
Have all the workers of lawlessness no knowledge? Do we not know any better? Because you can know better and not do better. Amen? Come on.
Who eat up all my people as they eat bread.
They eat up all my people as they eat bread. Come on.
And call not upon the Lord.
And call not upon the Lord. So who does not call upon the Lord? There's certain terms I want us to be aware of when it comes to the Bible. The fool that said there is no God. Now, if you come across somebody and they say there is no God, don't turn around and say, okay, fool, let's have a conversation. Let's have a Bible study. You got to go a different route. And we'll give you some ways that God speaks to us today. It's not about being contentious. But the Bible makes it plain. It is foolish thinking, and it's not a compliment to say there is no God. The Bible just said wicked. Now let's talk about the wicked. Psalms, the 10th division. Go to Psalms 10 and verse 4. Psalms, the 10th division, verse 4. Because we think about those who don't even seek God, Psalms, the 10th, just go back a few pages, maybe a page or two. And give me verse 3 and 4 for context, because people can be full of themselves. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at my power. Look at my might. Psalms, the 10th division in verse 3 and 4, please.
For the wicked boasted of this heart's desire.
So now we talk about the fool. Now here's how the wicked behaves. The wicked boasteth, brags of his heart's desire. Me, 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 me. Here's what I plan to do in my life. Here's what I'm going to do. Remember about Luke chapter 12, when God said, thou fool? A man's life is not consistent in the abundance of things of which he possesses. And so now the wicked boasts of all of his heart's desire. Here's everything I want to do. And there's nothing wrong. I was talking to someone last night. People want to travel and see God's handiwork. So you talk about all the things you want to do. Is God included in that? And for our young professionals, I want to get my degree. I want to go ahead and get this extra degree. I want to get this job, get this extra money. Then I want to buy this house. Then we'll get this extra house. You know, all this extra stuff. And we're kind of extra. Hold on. Then we'll get a car. Then I need to get this extra car. Then we'll get married. No extra. Is God in your plans? Then do we say, then I'll get, after all the stuff I get and all of those extras, then I'll die. Then what? The wicked boasteth, Psalms 10 and 4, 10 and 3, boasteth of his heart's desire. Come on.
And blesseth the covetous of the Lord of work.
And bless the greedy, the covetous. It's never enough. So it's one thing to have desire. It's one thing, make sure at every stage of life, you may be unemployed right now. Be content in knowing God has given you the opportunity to reach out and apply for a job. Don't complain. God, thank you for allowing me to get up this day so I can go and I can dig a ditch today. I don't want that job. Wait. This is what we're starting to see now. Now, I want a job. I need some money. Okay. Can you go ahead and wash my car? I'll give you $20. No, I don't wash your car. So you don't want money then. You don't want to earn any money. Y'all all right? I'm walking out of Whole Foods on Friday night. I hear this beautiful violin playing. I'm like, wow, they got live music here and everything. There is a man there with a speaker and a sign. I have three kids and they need diapers. And he had the music playing. And he's obviously a musician. Incredible. People going by putting money in the thing. I said, my goodness. What a message. I ain't begging. I'm going to go ahead and show you my artistry. And if you like it, if it entertains you, maybe you'll give me some money so I can take care of my own. It's a man providing for his family. We got to try getting away sometimes. We want what we want, but we're not willing to work for it. And so as it stands with God, what will it take? The wicked boasted of his heart's desire, Psalms 10 and 3, and then basically compliments the greedy, or bless the covetous whom the Lord abhorred. Abhor means hates. God does not like prideful folks. We have to be humble. Amen? Verse 4. Come on, brother.
The wicked through the pride of his countenance.
There it is. The wicked through the pride of his countenance.
Will not seek after God.
Will not seek after God.
God is not
in all his thoughts. So that's our launch pad for this morning's lesson. Albeit brief. That's our launch pad. So now, the fool has said there is no God. The wicked is loved. I got all my plans. The wicked is like, you know what? He's got a little more to me. So let me keep blessed those that are covetous or greedy. And God's not even in his thoughts. I hope and pray that we have not described any of us. Now, for our visiting friends today, there are those who are atheist, agnostic, have no regard for God, don't believe in God, will verbalize that. And maybe they don't say it out loud, but through our actions, we act like there is no God. The Bible is an antiquated book. Why doesn't God show his existence more with all this stuff going on, sickness and all this other crime and bad weather? Why doesn't God show his existence? I'm here to tell you this morning, part 2 of 3 right now. Part 2, God speaks. God speaks. And you may not, you have people that will want to travel the world. You know what? How God speaks? God speaks, point number two, through his creation. We are created beings. It is intelligent design. There is God is an intelligent designer. We did not evolve. If I see this computer on, if I see a computer laying down, I've got engineers who know all kinds of stuff about computers. And it's funny how I can, how do I know to press an on button and all of a sudden it comes on? Then I type in a password and then the screen opens up. Somebody had some sense to construct this. There was a designer. Amen. And sometimes people say, my computer's not working. No, it's probably the user. So what about us? We did not evolve over time, some random selection. God is in the intelligent designer. We are God's creation. The countless millions of dollars they spend, let's say somebody's arm's amputated, and they build this arm to try to mimic God's what God has already created. And the Bible is not silent about God's creation. Romans chapter 1. Romans the first chapter. Let's go to about verse number 19. Romans, the first chapter. I can't exhaust it, but recognize, have you ever traveled and just seen, of course, we live here in beautiful South Florida. You see the oceans. People travel. Talking to a guy last night. Come on. He went to the Grand Canyon and said, how can there be no God? What if a man created the Grand Canyon? His Andre's picture be over it. Andre's Canyon. Wouldn't it be the Grand Canyon? Corbett Canyon. Everywhere you turn, see a picture of him. Yes, I did this. Just all of that. Brothers and sisters. God speaks through his creation. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 19. Romans first chapter, beginning at verse number 19. What does the Bible say?
Because that which may be known of God manifest.
See, watch this. Watch this now. Because of that which may be known of God is manifest. Come on.
In them. For God showed it unto them.
Watch this. For God, that which may be known of God is manifest. Manifest means revealed. See, God reveals to us, is revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. What did God show unto the unrighteous, in other words, and the righteous? Read.
For the invisible things of men from the creation of the world.
For the invisible. Watch this. So things that, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Imagine these beautiful, the beautiful Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico. See, God, when did God do all that? The things that we could not see invisible are now clearly seen and manifest. From the creation of the world are clearly seen. Come on, here it is.
Being understood by the things that are made.
Being understood by the things that are made. Hold your point. Isn't it amazing how, you know, we live here in the hurricane, an area that's impacted by tropical storms and hurricanes, and man has enough sense to go in and say, we're going to go into the storm. We're going to give you the track. And most get, here's the potential track, because they can look and study what, but nobody, who created that hurricane? Who created the oceans? Who created the sky? Is there a man pulling the sun up every morning, and then there's a night shift comes and pulls it down, then the moon comes up? Oh, atheist, oh, agnostic. Who created all of this? The rain that's coming down from the sky. The bread that we eat. You plant a seed in the ground. You're going to sit there and say, okay, you don't believe me, but you, the atheist is eating. You don't believe in the God that, again, Isaiah 55, write it down. Isaiah 55, about 8 through about verse 10, that why the rain cometh down from heaven, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So every time that atheist eats a sandwich, you're hating on God, but yet you're eating that sandwich. Thank you, God, for the rain. Y'all thank God for the rain today? You say, oh my goodness, it's raining in my hair. Hold on a second, I want to see y'all. Give me a minute. Y'all all right? Thank you, Lord. Because you ain't eating if there's no rain. What God has done without any of our help, the invisible things from the creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are clearly seen, are manifest, are revealed. Romans 1, verse 20 now, being understood. Do we understand that this did not evolve? Do we understand that somebody, this was created? And what's beautiful about it, and again, I'm far from a scientist, but you cannot get life. If you cannot get life from something that's inanimate, it's got to be something that's alive. And so God, who is alive, we sing this song, our God, he is alive. And when God said in Genesis chapter 1, I can't exhaust it, but I got to spend a little bit more time here on creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, God said the seed will produce after his own kind. That's why you plant a mango seed, you're not surprised by the result.
Amen.
Amen. Two horses get together. You ain't surprised. Ain't a goat. It's a horse. Y'all all right? Plant kingdom, animal kingdom, and in the human kingdom. It's not like, okay, two monkeys and then a monkey then evolved into a human. No, sir, no man. The seed will produce after his own kind. Amen. Yeah, I got to move on. Creation. God speaks through his word. Say it, give me a latter part of verse 20. Come on.
Even his eternal power.
Even his eternal power and Godhead.
For that they are without excuse.
They are without excuse. I'm waiting for somebody. Because people talk about this Big Bang Theory. It just exploded. Well, then where was life? God created. A seed produces after its own kind. So in the plant kingdom, we talked about the mango seed produces a mango. Animal kingdom, horse produces a horse. In the human kingdom, when mama and daddy, the baby is made. Ain't no stork. Don't give credit to a stork.
Amen.
Amen. So if kids saying, Mom, what are you talking about? Y'all talk about that at home. Amen. In every kingdom, and also in the spiritual kingdom. Write this down. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. The seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. The seed is the word of God. And so when the word of God is planted, it will not produce a different in every kingdom. Mango produces a mango. A horse produces a horse. A human produces a human. And now the seed, the word of God, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, will produce a Christian.
Amen.
So isn't it amazing how even agnostics or even some atheists or those who just want to just say, well, everything counts. You go against the very laws of nature that God put into force. So God speaks to us through creation. And so in the Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, put that as your mate to Luke 8 and verse 11. And the Christians, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That seed produces after its own kind. So what will it take? If creation and the clear evidence of an intelligent designer, clear evidence of what God has created allows us to breathe air that we cannot even see. We're just far enough from the sun that we don't burn up. Is that enough? It's not enough for some. It's not enough for many. God speaks to us not only through creation, but God speaks to us through his son. Hebrews chapter 1. Go over there. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's take a look at about verse number 1. And we sing the song, Are We Listening? I'm going to give you one more scripture before we go to Hebrews 1. Just wait over there for me. And I want you to write down, because when it comes to even today, again, I'm using the aid of my glasses. And so as we think about this, I look around this audience. Some of you may be here, but some of you may not be even listening. You can't help but hear me. And keep, I can't see. It's full disclosure. I don't have my contacts in, so I can't say, look right at me. I'm looking out there at somebody, but all y'all just a little blur right now. To be clear, full disclosure. So now here's my point. Are you listening? And listening, not so much, well, yeah, I can't help but hear you. No, that's hearing. But are you adhering to God's word? Are you taking it in to the point of how I can be better? When I say I'm talking about each of us, to that introspection. Because oftentimes people can hear, but just listen to for other reasons. And so, and I got to take you to Psalms. Because a psalmist actually thought about creation. And I want to take you back here because I think it'll help us all grow and be just more, just hopefully more obedient. Psalms 8th division. Go back to Psalms 8 for me, please. Y'all got a minute? I'm going there anyway, but y'all got a minute. Psalms 8. And we're going to pick up in about verse 3. I'll read this one, Lynn. Psalms 8, beginning at verse 3. Then we're going to go back to Hebrews on how God speaks to us. Back to your creation. In your notes, the section on creation, stay here. In Psalms 8, division, beginning at verse 3, listen to what the psalmist did. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. The word ordained means chosen. Do you just sit back? Because I've done this many a day, many a night, especially growing up. We just sit outside and just look at the beautiful sky and see these stars. The psalmist is saying, I consider, look at what you did. When I consider, let's pause for a minute. So you hear these terms, being mindful, mindfulness, stay present. Just stop and quit thinking about ourselves. When I think about the sun, the moon, the stars that you chose this to light up the sky during the day and at night. Verse 4. Look at his response. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You even thought about us. You created the heavens and the earth. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, that thou visitest him. You allowed your son to come and even die. And what else did he do? Verse 5. For thou hast made him, Jesus Christ, a little lower than the angels. People say, can we study on angels? Yeah, we can study about heavenly messengers. What do you know about Christ? So it's oftentimes where people are like, okay, I want to know more about angels. You need to know more about Christ. That's like saying, I want to know more about that mailman that brings my mail in the box. I want that check he's putting in the box. How many of you stop and just thank your mailman? You want to see what he's bringing. I want the message. I want that letter I'm waiting for. I want that check. Y'all know you can direct deposit. That's an old example, but it's all right. Y'all get it. So let's study more about the messengers. Okay, God used messengers. Celestial beings that were messengers that he sent and dispatched from place to place. But what's the message? And so as we look at what the Bible says, the psalmist says in verse 5, you've made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. So the celestial beings, God is a spirit, doesn't have flesh and blood. He got angelic messengers around him, but you made Christ, your son, a little lower than the angels. You made him man just like us. You're the same one who created the heavens and the earth. You speak loudly through your creation. But the Bible goes on to say, thou madest him, verse 6, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things, here it is, under his feet. So are you more concerned about an angel? Or about the one that God who created the heavens and the earth, the one that who made him, Christ, a little lower than the angels, and God, the creator, the intelligent designer, gave him, put all things under his feet. Oh, please put in your notes, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Y'all all right? Permission to go over there? Thank you. Ephesians chapter 1. Come on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And then we're going to finish up on Hebrews. We're almost finishing Hebrews. I'm going to catch myself. I'm going to be up here lying. From creation to Christ. From creation to Christ. God who created the heavens and the earth. God who put the sun and the moon and ordained. He chose everything. And I won't even try to break down as you read things about science, the galaxy and how many planets and all this other, incredible. But what we can see that God has chosen. Then you thought of man. You created man, God, psalmist reflection. Then you created Christ to be made lower than angels, a little lower than the angels, made him flesh. But then you put all things under his feet. Ephesians chapter 1. Lenny, you over there? Ephesians 1, 21, and bring it on down to 23. Come on.
Far above all principality.
Listen, God who created everything, but now far above all principality and power
and might
and dominion.
And every name that is named. Not only in this world.
Not only in this world.
But also that which is
to come. So the God who's all powerful, the intelligent designer, the one who created heavens and the earth. See, now there's something that God did, that same God that speaks to us today. See, God speaks to us through creation, but he also speaks to us through his son. Far above all principality and power and every name that is named, and over might and dominion, not only in this world, but in the world to come, which means this is an all-powerful person. Read.
and have put all things under his feet.
Did you hear that recently? You just read that, didn't we, in Psalms 8? So the same one who created the heavens and the earth has a plan for man. And have put all things. Now, people want to say, I want to worship the sun and the moon. See, now here's your answer. See, God created all of that. So thank God for the sun and the moon. But in that same context, Psalms 8, those of you who are teaching Bible classes, people are like, no, I worship the sun. I go out there, I look up in the sky, and I just thank some whatever is out there. God created us, God chose the sun. God chose the moon. He created it all. But in that same context of Psalms 8, you don't even have to leave the contextual setting. He also made him, the Son of Man, a little lower than the angels. So don't worship the sun, the moon, or try to get all big. You want to know everything there is to know about angels, but you miss Christ. The Son of Man was made a little lower than the angels, but he put all things under his feet. Now, where does that take us? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Give it to me from the top again. 22, Lenny, come on.
And have put all things under his feet.
And have put all things under his feet.
And gave him to be the head over all
things. And gave him to be the head over all things.
To the church.
Now, somebody will say, well, who is he? There's no context, preacher. You just went right to he. You're assuming it's Christ. Go back to verse 20. Read. Verse 20, Lynn.
Which he wrought, worked.
That word wrought means work, like a wrought iron fence. It's hand work, machine work, which he, the Father, wrought or worked in Christ. Come on.
When he raised him from the dead.
When he, the Father, raised him, Christ, from the dead.
And set him.
Set him, Jesus Christ,
at his own right hand
in the heavenly places. Now far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Have put all things under his feet. Who's in charge? Jesus Christ. So if someone says, I don't believe in God. Or I don't believe in that Church of Christ. I don't believe in Christ, but God knows my heart. Well, the same God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars put everything under his feet. That's like saying to me, I like you, Brother Gale, but I don't like your wife. But you can't like me, but I like the love of my wife. Amen. I can't stand your kids, but you can't stand me because they're part of me. Amen. You mess with one, you mess with all. Amen, family. Same thing in the church. Somebody mess with y'all, let us know. Let us know. Not that me and Rick going to come up there and beat anybody up. We're going to pray for them. Amen. But none of us are alone. So to say, he put all things under his feet, verse 22, and gave him the head over all things to the church. Come on.
Which is his body. The fullness of him.
That filleth all in all. God speaks to us through creation. Let's go ahead and hasten on. There are those who don't believe in God. Psalms 14, the Bible calls them a fool. They're those who don't seek God. Psalms 10, the Bible calls them wicked. Are you willing? God speaks us through his creation. Romans 1, 19 and 20. I'll give you another bonus scripture, Psalms 19. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. Put that in your notes under creation, where the Bible talks about what God has done. You got Psalms 8 as well, 3 through 6. So make sure your notes are up to date, since I don't have them on the screen for you. I want to keep hitting that nail. So God speaks to us through his creation. God speaks to us through his son. Hebrews chapter 1, Lenny. Hebrews chapter 1. And the verse is beginning at verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. If y'all there, say amen. All right. I want to make sure we don't get too far ahead of you now. Listen to how that same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who made him, the Son of Man, a little lower than the angels, the same God who created us, the same God who put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ's feet, to be head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. No Pope, no Mary, nobody. Christ is the head of the church. So if you believe in creation, you got to believe in God. You believe in God, you got to believe in Christ. You believe in Christ, you got to recognize his authority. You cannot pick and choose like you're going to a buffet today. I want this, but I don't want that. It's the whole package. The whole counsel of God. Hebrews 1 and 1. What does the Bible say?
God. Who at sundry times and in diverse manners.
God who at sundry times before times and in diverse different manners.
space and time pass into the Father and by the Father.
So that same God, the intelligent designer, the creator of the heaven and the earth, the Father, the Heavenly Father, has used different ways over time to speak his word, to speak his will, to give instruction, guidance, and even rebuke. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, how does God speak to us today? Read.
Hath
in these last days. We're in the last days, family. Read. Spoken unto us by his son. Wait a minute now. Now, what's so significant about the son? Far above all principality and power and might and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. He's the ultimate authority. Jesus Christ. Do I want to be in John the Baptist's church, which he never said he would build? I'll show you that in just the very next scripture we're going to in a minute. Why would I want to be anywhere else other than where Christ has authority? Hath in his last days spoken unto us by his son. Come on, what did he do?
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
They're reinforcing whom he, the Father, hath appointed heir of all things.
By whom also he made the world.
By whom also he made the world. So in the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim, the plurality of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the very beginning, were all there. Everybody was there. How do you know that? Because contextually, in Genesis chapter 1, about verse 26, let us make man in our image, in the image of God. Our image. Wait a minute, who was there? And the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. They all were there. Amen. Even if you can't say amen yet, I'm going to show you something in John 1 that's going to put it all together. See, if I were to say, Andre, Lenny, we're three of us are together. Let us go and check out this football game. I'm saying, well, let me. Everybody's like, well, brother, what about us? So just let us make man in our image. Plurality of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So now back to Hebrews. I'm going to get ahead of myself. So hath in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world's creation. Read.
Who being the brightness of his glory.
Who being the brightness of his glory, Father and Son, brightness of his glory. Come on, here it is.
And the express image of his person.
But Christ became the express image, something you can see, something that was manifested. So how can God the Father, whose only begotten Son, who was made a little bit lower than the angels, you mean to tell me he became man? We could see him, his express image of his person. Read.
And upholding all things by the word of his power.
And upholding all things by the word of his power. Come on.
When he had by himself purged our sins.
When he had by himself, Jesus Christ, purged our sins.
Sat down
on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now watch this. He was made a little lower than the angels, but just in case, because some people, I'm telling you, over the years, we have heard so many requests. People get just so caught up in angels because Hollywood got y'all with Touched by an Angel. Y'all used to watch that. Della Reese. And so that Hollywood, the artistic license, had people losing their mind. During that stretch, during those seasons, people, can we study more about angels? Watch what the next says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 4. God made him a little lower than angels, but just in case you missed it, read.
Being made so much better than the angels.
Well, not just better, so much better. Amen. Being made so much better than the angels. Come on.
As he had inherited, obtained a more excellent.
As he had by inheritance, the Son of God, not a messenger. I don't want to be follow the postman, the spiritual postman, the messenger. I want to follow the ordained messenger of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of God. He's made so much better than the angels. As he, not anybody, the Son of God by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than that. I can keep going. We can keep reading because he's going to say, which angel did he say? You are my son. That's verse 5, paraphrasing. But I got to go ahead and hasten on. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's take it back to the beginning. In John, so we know Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Let's take it back to the beginning. Let's go to John chapter 1. Excuse me, I'm going to take the Genesis. That'd be a midnight lesson. I caught myself. Y'all welcome. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Start in verse 1. Come on. John chapter 1, verse 1. Wait. John, say it again. Take your time.
In the beginning
was the Word, capital W. Come on.
And the Word was with God.
Was what?
With God.
With God. Plurality of God. Y'all all right now? The other one, y'all are like, amen, bro. Don't say amen, you don't believe it. Amen only means truly it is so. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Was with God. Read.
And the Word was
with God. Capital W. Keep reading.
The same was in the beginning with
God. In case you missed it, in verse 1, the same Word, capital W, was in the beginning with God. So you mean there's more than one God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen, saints? Read.
All things were made by him.
Some things were made by him.
All things were made by him.
Come on.
And without him was not anything made that was made.
Lord have mercy. The same God that created the heavens and the earth. His Son, Jesus Christ. When God ordained and chose, that's going to be called the sun. That's going to be called the moon. That we're going to have a day. We're going to have day and night. And with the light up the sky at night, we're going to call them. We're going to just put these stars up here. Lord have mercy. There's going to be flying things and creeping things, and man can heal and eat as he chooses, but man will have dominion over all the animals. So whether somebody chooses to eat plants, herbs, whatever, or you're going to go and have you some barbecue rib, God gave us dominion and he gave us choice. Quit condemning people for eating a grilled mushroom and you overeating a baby back rib. Thank God for it all. Amen. Context. That's all the Bible is doing for it. So are we clear that the Bible, God with Jesus Christ, the Word, but you're like, but it don't say Jesus says the Word. Thank you. Let's go down to verse 14. We got to hasten on. Come on. John 14. The time is on you now, lady. It ain't on me. John chapter 1. Same book, same chapter. Drop down to verse 14. We recognize the Word, capital W, was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. The Word was, nothing was made without him. So he was there every step of the way. Read verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh.
And the Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory.
And we saw his glory.
The glory of the only begotten of the Father.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Come on, Lenny.
Full of grace and peace.
So this Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh, dwelt among us. He was there in the beginning, at creation, aided in creation. Nothing that was made was not made by him. He was there with God. But he became flesh, made a little lower than the angels, but so much better. An inheritance, a more excellent inheritance, because he is the Son of God, full of grace, the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, so people talk about John. Well, John saw him. What did John say? Come on.
John bear witness of him. And cried, saying, this was he of whom I say.
John was a messenger, by the way. John was a messenger. And so when Jesus says, there's none greater born of woman than John, but he that is least in the church is greater than him. Least in the kingdom is greater than John. Thank God for being a member of the Lord's church. Amen, saints. John saw him, bear witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. Come on.
He that cometh after me
is preferred before me. So John never said he'd build a church. If anybody's here today, God bless you. If you're a member of a Baptist church, let me tell you something. John never said he was going to build a church. And that seed, the word of God, Luke 8:11, when you plant that seed, the word of God, and it's watered and God gives the increase, does not produce a Baptist. I say that with all the love in my heart. John, the baptizer, a messenger, a forerunner, is saying, this is he of whom I spake. This is the man I was talking to y'all about. He never pointed a finger at himself saying, I am the Savior. Keep reading.
For he was before me.
He was before me. Come on.
And of his fullness have all we received.
And of his fullness have we all received. Come on.
Grace for grace.
And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen, saints. So let me close with this. What will it take? I will spend more time on this in the days to come. But I want to give you one example. What will it take? So God created the heavens and the earth, Maybe some are saying, thank God it's so good to have that reinforced. For Christians, it should be reinforcement for us. For those that are outside the body of the Church of Christ, like, wow, so from creation to Christ, never put all that together. Same God who created the heavens and the earth gave us all opportunity to be born again. We live and we die. So now, some people, and it's interesting, as I was watching this debate yesterday online, an atheist, someone said, what could God do to cause you to believe? He said, okay. And I was like, oh. He said, if God were to say tomorrow at 7:17 p.m., a meteor's going to land right here on this spot. And then he kept giving more and more specifics. If all that happened, then I would no longer be an atheist. Let me tell you something. What people will have us to believe and what people do, when you get to a point where you address the concern, then there's going to be something else. There's going to be something else. That's what atheists will continue to do. Because that's, okay, if God does this specifically, well, what if God raised somebody from the dead? What if God raised somebody from the dead? Would you believe then? John chapter 11. Let's run over there and close this up. Song leader, come on closer. Come on, Sunday, come on up here. John chapter 11. That's going to make y'all feel good. Y'all going to sing, but he ain't getting up here yet. John chapter 11. John 11 chapter. I want you to see this. See, those, not only were there messianic prophecies about Christ, not only did they see miracles, but in John chapter 11, I want to show you something very quickly. And then look at it. It's going to be a perfect segue to the song leader. Amen? Watch this. When Jesus told Mary and Martha in John on chapter 11 and about verse 23 that thy brother shall rise again, we recognize that. We got to hasten on now. So watch when Jesus said, in John chapter 11 and verse 43. Go ahead and read that, Lenny. Watch this. What will it take? And then watch this now. When he thus had spoken, verse 43. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, John 11, don't leave me now, brother. John 11 and verse 43.
Now, when he had thus spoken.
That's what I want. When he had thus spoken.
He cried with a loud voice.
He cried with a loud voice.
Lazarus.
So Jesus Christ, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay? So many of us know that story. But now let's keep going. Let's see what happens.
And he that was dead came forth.
So now, we can't do it today. Can you imagine? Somebody Daniel's like, get on up. Come forward. They get up and walk. Well, I ain't going to tell you that's what y'all going to do, but I'm going to move on. And he that was dead came forth. So Lazarus came walking out. Come on.
Bound hand and foot with grave clothes.
So again, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, as the tradition was. This was no doubt it was Lazarus. So he that was dead was raised. Read.
And his face was bound.
His face was bound about with a nap. They put the napkin over their face. Come on.
Jesus said unto them.
Untie.
And let him go.
So let him go. Now this man's going to go ahead and walk. This man who was dead is now walking. Loose him and let him go. Watch this. Read.
And many of the Jews which came to Mary.
Here we go. What will it take? Wait, this is us now. This is so many in the world. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary.
And
had seen the things which Jesus did.
And
thank you, Lord. They saw it and said, he's the man. No further questions, counselor. I believe in Christ. So when we preach God's word with its simplicity and keep people in the book, some that are here today will say, you know what? I'm ready to become a Christian. And we praise God for that. Amen, saints. So many believed on him after seeing that. But look at the rest. Read.
But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees.
Some of you going to leave here today and say, you heard another gospel message, but you go your merry way. Some going to go their merry way. Some going to be just like our lesson text. Your ears are waxed gross. Your ears are dull of hearing. Your eyes have closed. Lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. Some people are like, nope, I don't want to hear that because that goes against what my mama taught me. That goes against tradition. I don't want to hear that. But so many went their ways. Keep reading.
And told them what things Jesus had done.
And so they went their ways and told people what Jesus had done. Now what happened now? Watch this.
They gathered the chief priests.
So maybe they're going to say, you know what? We can't deny him now. Let's go ahead and obey the gospel. Read.
And the Pharisees and the council.
Chief priests and Pharisees and council, they all came together.
and said,
come on,
what do we?
What are we going to do? What do we?
For this man who has been a miracle.
They can't deny the miracle. They can't deny what they've seen. Here we go.
If we let him
alone,
all men will believe on him.
If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. You see what the Bible just said? If we allow him, if we leave, if we don't do something about this. They didn't say, let's all line up and obey him. If we don't leave him alone, everybody's going to believe on him. And brothers and sisters, and they're going to take away our place, and our Romans are going to come and take away our place and our nation. Verse 53, Lenny, this is it. Listen.
Then, from that day forth, they put the council together for to put him to death.
And so when people say, over my dead body, listen, over my dead body, well, Jesus Christ allowed, God the Father allowed his son, the God who created the heavens and the earth, allowed his son to come down here and to taste death. The one who was there with him in the beginning and created everything. And so when people say over my dead body, Christ allowed, Jesus Christ was a willing sacrifice. It was through his dead body that we have life. He was crucified. He purchased a church with his own blood. And brothers and sisters, visiting friends, it is my fervent prayer that don't be like these people that from that day, when they saw what he did, the power of God, from that day forth, the Bible says, Luke 11 and 53, they sought to kill him. So you're going to be in the camp of, I'm going to find a way to fight back, or will you submit to the will of God? Jesus Christ in Matthew 13 and verse 15, he said, their heart is just dull. Their ears are callous. Nobody wants to listen. Are you willing to listen and do God's will while you have the opportunity? You see, God has given us his plan. What will it take for us to submit to the will of God? We wake up every day and we're warmed by the sun. We're cooled by the rain. We eat as a result of God's handiwork. Yet we deny the very God who created us. Are you willing to submit to God? His plan is simple. We must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be willing to not only hear the word that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Are you willing to change your mind? Because there's only one church. There's only one Savior. There's only one. And you could be a part of that called out spiritual body. Are you willing to repent of your sins, turn from your ways, and turn to God? And having turned from your ways and turning to God, are you willing to confess Christ, the one who was there in the beginning? The Son of God, not some angelic messenger, but the Son of God. Are you willing to confess him? And upon that confession, we'll baptize you today. Oh, it's wet outside. We need to go to the water grave of baptism, in order for your sins to be washed away. And upon that confession, when you're baptized, you rise up, you come into contact with the blood of Christ, and you rise up to walk in a brand new way of life. Be faithful unto death, and God has promised all who live faithfully in Christ a crown of life. Are you prepared today? See, next month and in the next few months, people will start making resolutions. I pray you resolve today. You may not see 2023. I may not see 2023. But God has given you and me today. From creation to today. What will your answer be? What will it take? Hopefully you've heard enough today and seen enough through his word, through creation, and through what God has done in our lives to submit to him today. All right, if you are resolved and you need to respond, please do so right now as we together stand, as we together sing. And for those online, please put your request in right now as we sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, drawn by the words in my things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have the Lord my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will stand so glad and free. Jesus, greatest I is, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and